Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Of the Romans, and you see that even in Revelation chapter 11, when the Gentiles siege the city for 42 months. Now, that's the end of this segment, basically, but I'm going to keep talking, and we can pick this up for the next segment. If you just tuned in, and we've come back again to the second part of something we were teaching last week, I want you to grab hold of this and see what we're talking about. We're dealing with something from the book of Daniel, and we've been showing how, again, in this overview, let me go back and just give you some review just a little bit, but Daniel is seeing this vision in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, and he says, 70 weeks of years are determined upon my people to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision, to anoint the most holy. He says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, will be 483 years. The commandment to restore and build Jerusalem goes forth under King Artaxerxes in 457 B.C., I believe it is, in Ezra chapter 7. He gives that commandment in 457 B.C., and exactly 483 years later, Jesus comes up out of the waters of baptism and announces the beginning of the last seven-year period of the scope of that prophecy in Daniel. If you missed last week's program, go back and watch it again on YouTube or through the outlets that we have. But Messiah comes on the scene for the last 7 years to fulfill what Daniel prophesied, that he would confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and it would be exclusive to the Jewish people. Remember, he's not yet went to the Gentiles, because it's first of all the opportunity for the Jews to come into the covenants of promise that God was offering them, the new covenant through their Messiah, Jesus Christ. But they continually are rejecting the invitation to come to the supper that God has now prepared for them. And so because they cut the Messiah off in 30 AD, Jesus, during the final moments of his life, begins to prophesy the Matthew 23 woes. He says, you fill up then the measure of your father's sin. Remember, Daniel prophesied to fill up and make full the measure of sin. He says to them in Matthew 23, make full then the cup. You yourselves admit that you're the ones that killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent to you, that upon you will come the blood of all the righteous, blood from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, whom you slew between the porch and the altar. When Jesus begins to prophesy that indictment, he starts into Matthew 24 and he says, do you see all these things? And he's prophesying the destruction of the temple, and he tells them about what's going to happen. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence. We showed you in prior segments how that's the fulfilled in the book of Revelation during the seals of the book. And that would happen within the first century because those seals were being opened as a judgment against apostate Israel, and the judgment that Jesus prophesied would take place right here were about to come to pass, because he tells them when they ask him, when will these things be? He tells them, this generation will not pass away until everything I told you comes to pass. Jesus gave that prophecy in 30 AD. It came to pass from 66 AD to 70 AD. That's 40 years. That's one generation, exact replica of the 40-year transition period of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the church there in when he was trying to tell them at the church at Corinth. He says that you are the people. He said everything, 1 Corinthians 10, these things happen for examples, for us, upon whom the ends, plural, of the ages have now come. The ends of the ages was the back end of the old covenant and the front end of the new covenant. King James original calls it the ends of the world have now come. But the Greek word there again is not cosmos, it is eon, the ends of the ages. He tells them that everything that happened to the children of Israel in that 40-year period was an example for them upon whom the ends of the ages had now come. And everything from the birth of Jesus being almost exact replica of the Exodus journey, the birth of Jesus. He goes down into Egypt to be protected from Herod, who's killing the babies. In the book of Exodus, Pharaoh's killing the babies. God raises a deliverer out of the water. John the Baptist raises another deliverer out of the water. Jesus flees into Egypt to the death of Herod. Then Jesus begins to preach and talk about, this Exodus paradigm, even when he does the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. It's a replica of the wilderness journey. And after he feeds, if you look at John's gospel, it's in the book, this book called The Great I Am. I have a whole chapter on that where it says, I am the bread. They have just left the Feast of Passover in John chapter 5 or chapter 6. I forget which one it is exactly. They leave the Feast of Passover. They cross the Sea of Tiberias. They're in the wilderness. The last time they left a Passover was in Egypt. And then they crossed the sea, the Red Sea. And then they're in the wilderness. This is a repeat. These people should have recognized this story. The people are hungry. And in the Old Covenant, manna falls from heaven and the people are fed. In the New Testament, Jesus goes, go bring me the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He gives the bread. And after he creates this miracle and repeats the Exodus, they look at him and say, what sign do you show us that you're the Messiah? I think Jesus probably went, duh, I just showed you what you saw, your fathers saw in the wilderness. And then Jesus quotes the scripture. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead, but I am the true bread that came down from heaven. He repeats the Exodus. On the Mount of Transfiguration, right before Jesus is crucified, Moses and Elijah appear to him and speak to him concerning his decease. The Greek word for decease there is the Greek word Exodus. The leader of the first Exodus is talking to Jesus, the leader of the real Exodus right here, who's about to lead another 40-year Exodus, but this time we're coming out of the bondage of an old covenant paradigm. The book of Revelation is about this Exodus. It's about another Exodus coming, and this Exodus to deliver them from the bondage of an old covenant system that made slaves out of them instead of sons. And you will see the repeat all through the book of Revelation of the plagues of Egypt, and you will see all of the repeat of the things that God told them. That, listen, if you put blood on the doorpost and take a lamb inside your house, none of this stuff will come on you. He's repeating that again here, when if they would have put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their houses. Because in Egypt, when God passed through the land to smite all the firstborn of Egypt, God was recompensing the Egyptians for killing all of the babies clear back when Moses was born. But when he said, I'm going to pass through the land and I'm going to smite all the firstborn of Egypt, but if you put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, take that lamb inside the house, we mistakenly preach that the blood on the doorpost said to the death angel, this house escapes. That's not completely true. What the blood on the doorpost said to the death angel is that there has already been a death exacted here. The death of the lamb was the death of the firstborn. Hence, we are delivered from the plagues that are coming. Can I tell you, every believer that knew Jesus was the true Lamb of God, that put the real blood on the doorpost and realized that Jesus was the death of the firstborn, he was the death of all men, that if you put that blood on the doorpost for the book of Revelation, here's where the redemptive story kicks in, where it's the great and terrible day of the Lord, is that the book of Revelation is not what's coming for you as a believer. It's what you've been redeemed from because of the blood of Jesus, because you've not been appointed to wrath, but you've been appointed to receive. And when he's talking about when you see all these things come to pass, your redemption's drawing nigh, he was talking about people who'd put the blood on the doorpost of their house. There was a redemption and a salvation that was ready to be revealed in the last time that was about to come upon them. And those that would endure until the end, the same would be saved. He's not talking about if you can make it through some tribulation in the future, you're going to be saved. He was talking about if you could endure to the end of this destruction and to the end of this war, you're going to be saved. And that's what Jesus was prophesying would happen during this 40-year transition period. That's the this generation of Matthew 24, verse 34. If you'd like a copy of this chart, you can write to my office at info@linhouse.com and ask for it, and they will send it out to you. Let me just suggest that if you do, could you possibly send a gift or an offering to help us to help continue to do this because of the works that's been done here? Let me also say quickly that this is actually a credit to John Noe, who made this chart in his book, Unraveling the End. But the time period is laid out exactly and specifically like the scriptures said it would be. But the great tribulation that Jesus prophesied, see, the 7-year tribulation, or the 7 years, I hope I'm making sense to you, but the 7 years that Jesus prophesied, or the 7 years during this period, was the end of this 490-year period. It consecutively began at 457 B.C. The whole 490 years ends in 34 A.D. But this last 7-year period during the time of Messiah was when most prophecy teachers call the Great Tribulation. Now, this was the fulfillment of Daniel. But the prophet Daniel was prophesying that that would happen during this period of time, and all of that happened. Now, what happens at the end of 34 AD, after the resurrection of Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden there's this gathering of Jews, Gentiles, Scythian, barbarians, and Greek, and all of them come together in one place. And the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled, that in the last days, when Peter stands up and confirms this, he said, "This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams." And he announces that the kingdom of God has arrived on the scene, because it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the tongues that were confused at Babel, we get our new tongue back at Pentecost. The language of the kingdom is the Holy Ghost. And as he fulfills those prophecies and the latter part of this season, then you see Stephen stand up, and they stone Stephen to death as he gives the final indictment and said, "You by wicked hands have crucified the King of glory." And they stone him to death, and Jesus stands up. Sometimes he'll stand up for you. And when Stephen was stoned to death, God said, "That's it. The 490 years, the 70 times 7 to forgive has now been fulfilled. Now take the gospel to the Gentiles." And it's there that Philip ministers the gospel, is freed to go to the non-Jews, and Philip ministers in Samaria. That's when you see the Ethiopian getting saved. You see all through the book of Acts that Gentiles are coming. You see Peter go to the house of Cornelius. And you see what Jesus said would be one of the signs in Matthew 24 when he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come." He gave that prophecy in Matthew chapter 24, in A.D. 30, and verse number 14, he gave that prophecy. But here's where the gospel was preached. Colossians 1:6 tells us that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Romans 1:8 said there was no place that the gospel was preached to both Jew and Gentile. I think it's Romans 10, verse 18 and 16 and 26 talk about there's no place where their voice was not heard. It went out into all the earth that the gospel was preached. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, they were there, Jew, Gentile, bond free, Greek, all of that. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, the gospel was preached in all the world for a witness, so that the end was imminent. It was about to come. The end of what? The end of the old covenant age. And when you go back to the book of Daniel, and he prophesies and puts the back end of bookends, if you will, to this prophecy, Jesus gave that prophecy. And AD 30, and 40 years or 30 some years have transpired. Now Nero shows up on the scene in the ADs, and he begins to, with all of these Roman hordes, Titus, Vespasian, all these guys begin to come on the scene, and they begin to persecute. The daily sacrifice is abolished, And in fulfillment of Daniel chapter 9, and the people of the other prince that will come will destroy the city, was going to take place within this 42 months, this 1290 days of Daniel. Let me get you this from Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. We held up his right hand, his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half of times. So from the time here, about 66 AD to the end of that destruction of the temple would be 3.5 years, 42 months, 1290 days. It is the amount of time that you see in Revelation 11, and the Gentiles will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. They treaded under city where Revelation 12, the woman gave birth to a man-child, fled into the wilderness for 42 months where it was kept under the wings of a great eagle. That's when the people that believed the words of Jesus and heeded what he said concerning the time of the end, that when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, you know it's time to get out of Dodge, so to speak, that they fled Jerusalem and went to a town called Pella where they were kept for 42 months, times, times, half a times. All of this fulfillment happening within the first century and within the scope and time of the prophecies that was given both by Daniel and by Jesus. And so Jesus prophesies of a great tribulation that would come, and he's talking about the destruction of the temple, and he prophesied that temple would be destroyed before that generation on the scene within 40 years. He prophesied it would come to pass, and great tribulation such as was not since the world began or would ever be again. And then Daniel puts the time slot on that, which connects to the book of Revelation, which was 42 months, times, times, and a half of times, until the power of the holy people was completely shattered. All these things will be finished. The power of the holy people was their exclusive covenant with Yahweh, and God was about to now destroy everything that was connected to that old covenant system so that they could not go back to Judaism if they would have wanted to. And then Daniel continues to say, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end. You will rest and you will arise and your inheritance in the end of the days. Now watch this, because Daniel, they begin to set up the daily sacrifice was abolished in 66 AD. And when it was abolished, it began the 1,290 days, just like Daniel prophesied it would. He said, but 1,290 days until the end of the destruction of the temple. And I said, but blessed is he who comes to the 1,335, because that was the end of the Jewish war. And that was the people that he said, if you will endure to the end, the same will be saved. I hope you're getting this, because this is incredibly good news. These judgments are not what's coming to you. You have put the blood of the Lamb that was killed here on the doorpost of your house. And for you, as you heard me teach way back several segments ago, when this little book was opened with the sealed book, it's two-dimensional. Ezekiel said in it is lamentation, mourning, and woe. But in Revelation 5 and 6, it says they sang a new song singing, thou hast redeemed us to God. So for apostate Israel, it was a terrible day. For those who would not receive, as Daniel prayed about their sins and their abominations and their repenting, that they continued to remain in apostasy, that God kept his end of the covenant, as you see in the book of Deuteronomy. We read that in Daniel 9 in the Amplified Bible. Go read it again. And when they did that, then he begins to tell them, here's what's going to happen, and I'm going to try to just review, and then we're going to be finished here today. He tells Daniel how long this is going to be. Daniel's in captivity. He said, how long, Lord, is this going to be? He said, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, is going to be 483 years. But 70 weeks of years are determined upon my people to finish the transgression, make an end of sin. 70 times 7, 490 years, because God was giving Israel every opportunity to repent. Until 70 times 7, 490. He's giving them every opportunity to come into their Sabbath, into their Jubilee. And the first message Jesus preaches is he announces the year of the favor of God, which was the year of Jubilee. He closed the book. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. But they continued to reject their Messiah. And so as Daniel begins to further make this prophecy, he said, but what's going to happen is that the Messiah is going to come after 483 years, and the last seven-year period of the scope of Daniel chapter 9 would begin at the ministry of Jesus, and he would confirm the covenant with many Jews for 1 week. He would give them opportunity for 7 years. But in the middle of the last seven-year period, Messiah would cut off. Jesus was crucified 3.5 years into his ministry. There's 3.5 years left. And that's why he says in Acts chapter 1, go first to Judea, go to Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. It's because there's 3.5 years left of the scope of this prophecy until God begins to take it to the Gentiles. And when they stone Stephen to death and the events of Acts start to unfold, then you see Philip going to the Samaritans. You see Peter going to the house of Cornelius. You see Saul of Tarsus being made the greatest apostle of the Gentiles that ever walked. And all of a sudden, it's lights out for natural Israel, and those who were invited to the feast are only going to come in if they have on a wedding garment, and that wedding garment is the righteousness of the saints, which is given in the new covenant, not on the basis of the law, but as the gift of righteousness through one Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Messiah was cut off in the middle of this last seven-year period. That whole 490 years of Daniel has been fulfilled. You cannot take this prophecy out of context and try to make that prophecy fit for some future seven-year tribulation with some parentheses theories, because there is no parentheses in Daniel chapter 9. But when Jesus stands up at the end of his ministry and he's about to be cut off, he prophesies to that generation who have finally missed their opportunity as he is weeping over Jerusalem, says, I would have gathered you under my feathers. I wanted to give you mercy, but you would not. Therefore, your house is left to you desolate. And Jesus went out. He's prophesying of the desolation. And then he starts to prophesy. There's going to come wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilence, sun, moon, and stars darkened. I covered that in other segments. Those prophecies and things Jesus prophesied about happened at the end of the scope of this prophecy. During the time of the siege of the Roman Empire, wars came, earthquakes, famines, all of that stuff's recorded in the New Testament. All of that has been fulfilled. In fulfillment of what Jesus said, including the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And here's all the scriptures for that, that the gospel has been preached in all the world. And then Jesus prophesied concerning a great tribulation that would take place before this generation passed away. So he's prophesying of another time period, 40 years, a generation from the time Jesus gives this prophecy until everything he comes to pass. Remember, he limits his prophecy till this generation will not pass until everything I told you comes to pass. And it did exactly like Jesus said it did. Liberal scholars try to discredit the fact that Jesus was the Son of God or that he was a prophet based on the fact that they say Jesus said all of these events would occur during his time period, but they did not. Hence, Jesus cannot be the Son of God and he cannot be a prophet. Let me tell you something. If your theology makes Jesus a false prophet, you're probably the one in error, because everything he did say came to pass, and it came to pass exactly like he said. And then Daniel puts the time to how much of this would happen. He said it would be for 1,290 days. 42 months, 3.5 years, times, and a half of times, Habakkuk and Daniel all prophesy of the appointed time of the end, not the end of time, but the appointed time of the end. And at the end of all things, 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. I think that's so powerful. And I mean, there's so much stuff here that here's a couple of things that I want to add just while I got a few minutes. Here, let me show you how they amp up towards the end of this, what happens. In AD 30, T minus 40 years, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things are fulfilled. AD 49, T minus 21 years until this happens, Paul writes, the fullness of time has now come. Galatians 4:4. AD 57, T minus 13 years, Paul wrote, the time is short. Corinthians 7:29, the world in its present form is passing away. That was AD 57. AD 58, T minus 12 years before the end, Paul wrote, understand the present times because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. That's Romans 13, 11 and 12. AD 58, T minus 12 years, Paul wrote to the God of peace will soon shortly crush Satan under your feet. That's Romans 16, 20. AD 60, he gives this prophecy. T minus 10 years, James wrote, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. It's at hand. The judge is standing at the door. That's James 5, 8 and 9. He gave that prophecy in AD 60. AD 65, T minus 5 years, the writer of the Hebrews wrote, it's just a very little while. He quotes Hebrews, or he quotes the book of Habakkuk that I told you, Habakkuk 2, verse 3. He does that in AD 65. He says, and then he writes in Hebrews, the wrote just a very little while, and he was coming, will come, and will not delay, as you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10, verse 25. AD 65 through 67, T minus 3 to 5 years, Peter wrote, for it is the time for the judgment to begin at the house of God. I mean, it's literally standing at the door. And AD 67 through 68, T minus 2 to 3 years, John wrote, little children, this is the last hour. It is the last hour in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I think that puts the nail in the proverbial coffin to show you the time slot of all of this eschaton, or the study of the last days, is the last days, not of this age, but the last days of the old covenant age. And whether you get all these details or not, I don't know, but ought to give you at least, you can take these things, look at them, you can pause your screen and look at them and see that they were in fact fulfilled and incredibly good news. Somebody said, well, can't there be a double fulfillment? My response to that is no, because where there is no law, there is no wrath, for the law worketh wrath. And Jesus says in Matthew 24 that this would be great tribulation since such as was not, since the world began, or would ever be again. That ought to be worth watching this program for, is to let you see that this is not the catastrophes coming that people keep on prophesying and keep on failing at their prophecies. So consider the possibility that you might be living beyond the last days and living in a new day. I trust that's blessed you. Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to sow a seed into this ministry, please do so by going to our website, and there's a link there where you can give through our PayPal portal. You can give via credit card or debit card, and you can even do a one-time gift or a monthly debit if you'd like to become a monthly partner. You can also call the number that's on the screen, and someone will take your call. If there's no answer, leave a message. We'll call you back. Or you can send a check or money order to the address to be on the screen. But do it today. God bless you.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.